The best in internet talk radio.
A mind-bendingly ingenious plan to control the universe.
We're building the best internet talk radio on the planet. TalkZone.com. Italy has fascinating culture, beautiful scenery, amazing history, and warm, friendly people. Nobody knows Italy better than the host of How to Tour Italy. Here's Anthony Capozzoli on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back, everybody, and we just finished our first segment today talking about the wonderful Bargello of Florence. And now we have on, and I'm very proud to introduce this next guest, Janice Mancuso. She is the creator of 31 Days of Italian and the author of Tutto Italiano, the newsletter. Her website is jtmancuso, MANCUSO.com. It's one of those websites that if you love Italy, all things Italian, that you have to check out. I'm thrilled to death because Janice is going to be talking with us today about all of the wonderful contributions, not all of them, but a handful of selected ones where she, rather Italians, contributed here to America. So, and with that, I'd like to welcome Miss Janice Mancuso.
Hi, Anthony. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you today?
Fine, thanks.
Very, very good. And I'm thrilled to death to have you on the show, and thank you so very much for being a part of it today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Oh, my pleasure. I understand there was a little bit of a kind of a time zone difference there, and I do apologize for any inconvenience that may have caused you on my part.
Oh, that's okay. No inconvenience at all.
Good stuff. Good stuff. And well, good. So why don't maybe you take a moment and talk a little bit about what you're going to be talking about today, and then we'll get right into it because I'm thrilled to death. What I did see in, you know, via email and some of the things we've talked about, I've been fascinated with, and I think the audience will be as well. And before you get started, I think I do want to say that Janice is going to be with us for the next at least 6 weeks talking about different great contributions to America from Italians. So with that, please.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, first I'd like to say that the website where you can find this information is 31 Days of Italians. And all you need to do really is just put in 31 Days of Italians in a Google search, put it in quotes, and it'll come right up. And from there, it's really easy to just go to the index and you can look at all the names in alphabetical order and find who you want to learn about. And all the information is there. And I'll be making some references to that too as we go along. But a few of the people that I want to talk about today are actually people who are just Italians. They were born in Italy, and their contributions to America, because this is during the most of them were born during the 1700s and 1800s, so that's why it wasn't until the second wave where a lot of Italians came in and actually the Italian immigrants contributed. But I'm going to just start with one of the first who's known as the Florentine who made America. And that's Filippo Mazzei, and he was a proponent of American freedom during the Revolutionary War. His friends were Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson, and he was acquainted with George Washington, John Adams, James Madison, and James Monroe, and those were the first five presidents. So that was quite an impressive list of friends that he had in America.
I can't even imagine. That's a good company he's got there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he originally traveled to America to start a vineyard and an olive orchard, but the climate wasn't right for the olives, and he became more interested in the politics. He did become very friendly with Jefferson when he came over, and Jefferson did give him some acreage, and then Mazzei also purchased some acreage, but the figures on that ranges from 2 to 2,000, so I'm just going to say he received some and he bought some.
Sure.
So, but like I said, he really didn't do much about that. He decided he wanted to promote American independence. So he wrote about the British occupation, and he also collaborated with Jefferson. His phrase, all men are by nature equally free and independent, was turned into all men are created equal in the Declaration of Independence.
Well, that is quite a contribution to
the
history of the United States. I mean, I'm not sure it gets any more substantial than that. The Constitution and the Declaration of Independence are pretty core to our freedoms here in the States.
Yeah, and it's wonderful. And the thing is that most people have never heard of him.
Yeah, I have to admit, and I'm embarrassed to say this out loud, I'm going to say it anyway, I have not heard of him.
Well, you can go to 31 Days of Italians and you can learn everything you
want. That's wonderful.
Because one of the things that I do, too, on that website is, in addition to having the names of all the people who have greatly contributed to America, I also have a biography there, an overview, and then I have a list of resources, and I just added several more from Zay to to his list. I put new next to the ones that I just asked. I need to constantly go in and update it and, you know, and add. And one of the things that I found, which is very enjoyable to me, is that there are more websites. When I first started 31 Days of Italians in 2006, there were some places I couldn't find a lot of information about some of the Italians that I was looking for and the Italian Americans. Mm-hmm. But since then, there's been a lot more information available online. So I'm constantly updating that. So the website itself is like a portal to Italian American history, because people can go there if they want, you know, school children, anybody who wants to learn about Italian Americans' contributions to American history can go there and learn just about anything that they would like to learn. And they have all these varied resources. It's not opinion, it's fact. Everything that all the resources that I provide are, believe me, they're scrutinized by me.
Sure.
I want to make sure that the facts are accurate.
Well, I do have a quick question. You mentioned that he had purchased some acreage. Now, that acreage, I assume, was purchased here in the States, and because it was Thomas Jefferson, was it in Virginia?
Yes, it was in Virginia, right next to Monticello, actually.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And I think there's something cool. I think Monticello, now, correct me if I'm wrong, and if we don't know, that's okay too, but I believe that Thomas Jefferson and Monticello, wasn't that based, the design taken from that house in the Veneto that looks quite a bit like it, almost exactly?
Well, it's interesting you ask that, because Jefferson actually loved Italy. He was such a big fan of Italy. When he was minister to France, he traveled to Italy. And yes, when he came back to America, he redesigned his house in the architectural style of the Roman neoclassicism. So, and he named it Monticello, means little hill, a little mountain. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he actually, Jefferson, and if you can picture him, you remember him wearing those velvet jackets?
Mm-hmm,
that
sure.
was Italian velvet. He had a thing for the Italian velvet. And he also sketched a pasta machine, which is in the Smithsonian. The sketch is in the Smithsonian. That's kind of neat.
You know, that is neat.
He was very, very, he just loved Italy and a lot of things Italian.
That's great. Well, who doesn't?
I know. That's true. Mazzei became a naturalized citizen of Virginia, but he went back to Europe in 1778, okay, to raise money for America. He went to France to raise money so America could fight against Britain. He returned in 1783, right after the revolution, and he was hoping to get a position in, I think it was Jefferson's cabinet, but he didn't, so he went back to Europe, and he actually worked for the King of Poland, renegotiating relationships with Poland and France.
Hmm.
It was kind of interesting. He also wrote a four-volume series about the history of American politics that was published in France in 1788, and it was accepted throughout the world as an accurate source of information about the American Revolution. It was the first book written about the Revolution.
Wow. And would you say his name one more time, please? I apologize.
Filippo Mazzei.
Mazzei.
M-A-Z-Z-E-I.
Filippo Mazzei. That's really good stuff. And I know, do we have, you said you were going to be, we'll be talking about a couple of others today as well.
Yes, I will. I guess because we're running over, I just want to say a few, one more thing about.
Oh, no, we have some time, so.
Oh, okay. I just want to mention that there was an interesting fact about Jefferson and him corresponded while he was in, he went back to Europe. And there was and there's a link to this on my website. It's called the Mazzei Letter, where Jefferson was criticizing American politics. And it was a whole big to-do at the time. So that's an interesting thing. You can find that link on 31 Days of Italians. And Mazzei died in Pisa in 1816. But today, his family, there's a vineyard that his family owns. The name of the town is Fontarutoli. It's in the Chianti area, and I have links there, and you can go and visit. It's a beautiful historic town. It dates back to the Etruscan rule, and there's a lot of history there. And it's said that the wine, the name Chianti, was first used by one of his relatives selling the wine there. So there is a vineyard there.
That is great. And, you know, that might be a cool spot for me to do one of my live radio shows in Italy coming up here next month.
Oh, yeah, that would be neat.
Yeah.
They also owned started a vineyard in Sicily in about 2000. So that's another place you can go.
Yeah. Quite a bit newer, but.
yeah, that's true.
That's good stuff. So we've got, we've probably got about 8 minutes or so before we have to take a break.
Okay.
So we have about 8 minutes. So I'd love to hear about some other wonderful contributions.
Father Michael Accolti. He was one of the first Italian Jesuits to come to America. He worked as a missionary in the Pacific Northwest. He was born, he arrived in Oregon in 1844 and then went to San Francisco, where he helped establish several colleges in California, which were the first colleges in California, and also the Jesuit province in California. The Jesuits, it was interesting, the Jesuits were founded by St. Ignatius in 1540 to teach and spread Christianity. A very structured form of education.
Yeah, and I would say some of the most beautiful churches in Rome are of the Jesuit kind of order, if you will. I would say St. Ignatio and then Il Gesù.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to...
No. That's fine. Father Occulti was born in a town, Conversano, in the province of Bari in Puglia. That's the hill. And it's an ancient city, and it's known as Città d'Arte, the city of art, was paintings and its buildings, and it's also the home of the Lipizzana breed, Conversano. It's one of the breeds of the horses that, using the Spanish and the Arab horses, they still breed them there today. That's a really pretty city too.
Yeah.
I have a link to that on my website. A prehistoric town dating back to the Paleolithic era. So that goes way back.
My goodness.
Which is about 10,000, from 7 million years to 10,000 BC.
So what schools, rather, did Father Occulti have a hand in here in the United States up in the Northwest?
Santa Clara University. Let me just see. Santa Clara. And also started St. Ignatius Academy, which became San Francisco University.
Great
So
stuff.
Those are the two. And then there were a couple other ones that... He basically worked with those. He went back to Italy, and what he did, he brought a lot of the Jesuits with him to California. At the time that he went back to Italy, Italy was going through what the political upheaval, and the Jesuits weren't really much appreciated, so they came back to California and a lot of them trained at the school that he had started up. He started that up with Father Giovanni Nobili. So it was both of them that started. And this was an interesting thing, too. It was during, of course, in 1849 was during the California Gold Rush. So they went to California in the midst of all this mayhem and everything else. And they were very much appreciated there because the people were looking for education and some structure in their lives.
Well, I'm fascinated by this kind of stuff, I have to tell you. And I know you mentioned in the email, and I don't know if it's – I hope it's okay to mention that some of your contacts and relationships you have where Father Occulti is from in Italy, you let them know that we'll be talking about that today on the show and that they may or may not be listening. If they are, welcome to the show. I hope that you do. And I would love to go visit Father Occulti's hometown in Italy and maybe meet or kind of embrace some of the history on that side as well and do a radio show from there too.
Oh, that would be wonderful. That's the mayor of Conversano. I don't know his name, but yeah, I received a wonderful packet of information. This is very interesting. In doing my research, I received a wonderful packet of information from a reader and about a Father Occulti, a book all in Italian. Unfortunately, my Italian is not that terrific. I'm trying to get it to be a lot better.
Sure.
But he also sent me about maybe 30, 40 pages of research information. And one of the interesting things that I found was that because he was corresponding with the Jesuits in California, and I found that they actually recommended 31 Days of Italians as a source of information, and I thought that was kind of neat.
That is good stuff, and I'll tell you, that's usually how the academic world works. I mean, I know once you get started, make some contacts and relationships, everyone kind of helps each other out with the research and things like that, and I find that if you're doing it in good faith and doing research and trying to uncover the truth and things. I mean, the Italians are very helpful in that. They'll give you access to archives and letters and documents that are critically important to the kind of the academic process. So I'm not surprised that they did something like that for you, and it's wonderful that they did.
It was, but the interesting thing was that when I was researching Father Occulti, I could hardly find anything. So I didn't have a lot to work with, but when I received this packet, it was so interesting because it mentioned that a lot of the information about him was lost during the earthquake in California. And some of the other stuff that they had, the other papers, were in the Jesuit colleges, and it's only available, or in the Jesuit archives, only available to the Jesuits. So that was very interesting. It kind of, it was like, you know, the missing link between, why can't I find anything out about
right.
him? You know?
Sure.
So that was kind of neat. And I just wanted to mention, too, because I didn't even know until I did a little more research, but some of the Jesuit colleges, the more well-known ones are Fordham University in New York City, Georgetown University, and Regis in Colorado. I thought that was kind of interesting, too.
That is wonderful. And a lot of those things were started as a result of Father Occulti coming over here and doing his great work.
So yeah, that's exactly.
That's mm-hmm. wonderful stuff. And I think yeah. people, it's important to know, you know, where you're from, lest we make the same mistakes. So I'm always fascinated to find out who contributed and some of the great work and effort that people put in to doing the right thing for the right reasons, like academic institutions.
Right.
And in, you know, scientific research and helping people take the next step forward for no other reason except that they love it. And that's one of the wonderful things about the Jesuit order, is that one of their, you know, their pillars and foundation is academia and education.
Right.
And they work very, very hard and diligently to pursue that goal. So
right.
kudos. And
I'm
happy to know. And I'm sad to say again, before talking with you, I did not know Father Occulti, so I do apologize.
Well, that's okay, because I feel like it's my mission to let people know about all these wonderful Italians and Italian-Americans who have contributed so much. And that's the important thing. People need to know about this. We deserve a place in history, in American history. And it's just, to me, it gives our nationality more respect. And that's something that we need, too. So,
I agree. And I don't mean to interrupt, but I think that's a great segue, because, I'm tired of everyone associating the Italians with the Sopranos and,
yes.
you know, that whole thing. And I'm not even going to get into it because it mm-hmm. annoys me. But, I think it's wonderful. And this is the kind of stuff that, you know, will kind of enlighten folks and help them understand that there's more to us than, kind of that shark skin
mm-hmm.
Sopranos thing that, I'm growing weary of. So I hope that most of us are in the United States as well.
Right. There's a lot more to that. And that's my mission, is to let the world, or at least let America know.
Yeah.
One more person I'll
Please.
Talk about.
We've got about 3 minutes.
Yes. I'll have to talk quick. I might have to finish it up maybe next week.
That'd be great.
Maria Montessori, Dr. Maria Montessori, the famous educational system throughout the world.
Yeah.
She was, and it's kind of funny because I never put Montessori together with an Italian name. I don't know why. Growing up, I just never thought about that. But I think, and I was thinking about, you know, mentioning this, you know, today, is that I think a lot of the things that we grow up with, we don't even realize they're Italian because they're such a part of American culture.
Sure.
And they just become ingrained in us, and we just accept them as American culture and don't even look at where they came from or where the roots are. And I think that's another thing that people have to know. Where the Italian roots are and what has been accomplished and, you know, and what's been contributed to America.
Sure. And it's interesting because, you know, I'm familiar with Ms. Montessori. I do have to say I'm familiar with the educational mm-hmm. system. But I'm curious about a little bit more history about her. So please do.
Okay. Well, I only have a few minutes, and I want to talk a little bit about Tutto Italiano also, which is my newsletter that
Please.
I send every month.
Well, why don't we do this then? Let's talk about Tutto Italiano, and then we can talk about Ms. Montessori next week in your segment, if that's okay.
That's great. I'd just like to say one thing about her.
Sure.
She was the first female doctor in Italy.
Well, that's saying something. That's pretty cool, actually.
I know. And she was also a proponent for equal pay for equal work.
Very cool.
Right back there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really neat. Yeah. So we'll leave it at that, and I'll finish up with her and another person. And there's plenty. I mean, it's like, I don't know, over 100 of them.
Oh, yeah. And I'm looking forward to having you on and talking through all of them. And we've got about a minute, so maybe 30 seconds on Tutto Italiano. And then just to remind everyone, you can find all this out. Just Google 31 Days of Italians.
Yes.
And then please listen to the How to Tour Italy radio show, either live here on TalkZone.com or download it on iTunes and just search for How to Tour Italy, and you can listen to each segment with Ms. Mancuso. But please, let's talk about Tutto Italiano, and then we'll go right into a break.
Okay, well, Tutto Italiano is a monthly newsletter, e-newsletter that goes out. It's all about Italy or anything Italian, and it varies each month, and it's just a lot of information there. And some of the things that I'll be having over the next few months are more detailed information about some of the things that I'm talking about on the show. So if people are interested, they can go to there's a link on the your radio website. They can go there. They can
sure.
find it at you know, jtmancuso.com, or they can also find it at 31 Days of Italians. And probably if they put in Tutto Italiano in quotes in a search, they'll probably find it too. Tutto Italiano, I'm writing it in 2004.
That
so
is
it's been
wonderful.
Around for quite a while.
Well, thank you so much for being a part of the show today and the wonderful information you provided. We're going to go into a break, and Ms. Mancuso, we will definitely look forward to having you on the show next week. Thank you so much. We'll be back with Kathy after this.
Thank you very much.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye now.
If you love travel, imagine visiting one of the world's greatest cities and exploring it as very few ever have. Only Context Travel makes it possible. Context Travel offers in-depth walking seminars for intellectually curious travelers like you. It's your chance to experience a city as a cultural experience, unlike any traditional tour. Context Travel is a network of architects, historians, and art historians. They feature small groups of six or less, led by PhD-level scholars, with walks lasting from 3 hours to a full day. You can book a Context tour in seven great cities: New York, Paris, London, Rome, Florence, Venice, Naples, or Istanbul. Context Travel offers concierge services, art and archaeology walks, cuisine walks, shopping walks, and more. Visit us online at contexttravel.com. That's contextravel.com. That's contexttravel.com.